and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 197. Only 3 days to go till party time. I see Simon has been in the chat first. I'm loving the news headlines. Jonathan concedes defeat in the first round of the Professional First in Chat Championship. Yes, Simon won that one. Apparently, I'm in bed with indigestion, having accidentally dropped and spilt an entire box of Eucharist. That would be bad news. Mike hired by Nestle to run Teach Excel to Top Toblerone Executives. Never get back through the front door, would he? Oh, poor Simon. Poor Simon. Oh, loving the jokes. Whoa, Jonathan is in. Hello, Jonathan. How's Yom Kippur treating you? Poor Jonathan. Oh, he's bereft. Probably Simon's last win. I think the two of you are the most competitive people I've ever met. CQ Deb. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? Is it silly o'clock yet, or is that next week? Or less silly o'clock? You don't know what the weather's like where you are, but it's miserable here. It's not been great, has it? Go to bed weather. You mean like Friday, Jonathan? Just saying. You were so confident on Friday. Talk about it comes before a fall. Hello, Kim. Hello, Paul. Oh, Mrs. Simon's in. Now, Mrs. Simon, you could have kept Simon company while he waited to gloat over poor Jonathan. Hello, Tracy. Next week, still 4 a.m. Right, I shall remember that. All the clocks fiddle around at different times. So we have what we call Do Not Copy and Paste Week, which is just a throwback because we don't do it that way anymore. But it is Do Not Copy and Paste Week. Let me check on my calendar. I think it's only a week this time. But it has been known to stretch to nearly four, and it does cause complete havoc. So let's have a look. Not next week. There we go. It is Do Not Copy and Paste Week from the 26th of October to the 1st of November. I'm actually wondering if that's right. I will need to check with Mike. When are you guys changing your clocks in the States? Let me know that and then I'll know which week it is. But Do Not Copy and Paste Week came from us using BusyCal. When we used BusyCal, you can hold a key down and duplicate an event. And we use that all the time. And we noticed that the time was off during the period between when America had changed their times and we changed ours. So while they were off, at the moment we are 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours or 8 hours difference, depending on where you are. And pretty much most of mine are either on East Coast time or West Coast time, which is 5 hours and 8 hours. But when it's Do Not Copy and Paste Week, it's off. It's 4 hours and 7 hours. Well, Apple Calendar handles it fine. Google handles it fine. BusyCal, not fine. And that was the one we were using. Neither of us pretty much use it on a daily basis anymore. But Do Not Copy and Paste Week has hung around as like, be careful. Triple check your time zones, basically, is what it means. You thought Yom Kippur was a place. Oh, Simon! There you go. It's a 26-hour fast. Just over 26. So Simon just couldn't handle that. Simon, it's okay. You don't have to do it if you're aged, infirm, or it's medical. So I'm sure you'd get away with it. People have sins to repent for, but Jonathan doesn't have any. That's why we have a confessional, Jonathan. It's terrifying, the confessional. You do not want to go in there. Oh, 5 fast days. This just happens to be the longest. Loving that. Why 26 hours? I could Google it, but you know, conversation. Let me Google that for you, Simon. sunset to sunset. But you don't know why this is the longest. Probably because we're heading towards the longest day. And you've got to be absolutely certain, haven't you? What is quite alarming here? Jonathan's right, it's been an awful day. It's been overcast and really dark. But the street lights didn't come on. I don't know whether they're trying to keep us inside by making it pitch black outside. But they have actually just come on. But it's very dark out there. We're all in. Jonathan's got no sins to repent for. That's why he's not concerned.
Oh, right. You have Jonathan.
No, he hasn't.
All those falling asleep on a Friday night.
No, because that worked in my favour.
Oh, okay.
A place or a battle or something. It seems it's just a battle to stay away from the fridge. Oh, yes. Yes. No. You are supposed to be praying, aren't you? Or contemplating your sins. Hello. You can say hello to everybody.
You haven't got anything to repent for, have you?
Only this morning's little incident, Daddy. When I dragged the quilt off Mummy. Mummy wasn't amused. She dived in and there I am. I've got claw marks all over me because she's pulling the quilt off. We're past the longest day, I thought it was you. I mean the longest in terms of, the shortest day. The longest in terms of without daylight. Sunset to sunset. Lola has been fed immensely. Yes. Shall we tell everybody what you've had? There was a matter of three schmackos. You might well yawn. There were three schmackos and one tripe stick split into two. There was a rodeo stick and there was a jumbo.
Johnny, don't let her fool you.
Yeah, she's not hungry. Are you, Lola?
Don't report us to the RSPCA because we've got no case to answer. Like, no sins to repent for.
Exactly, we haven't. She said, yes, they have. Lola, no, we haven't. Be a good girl. You're going to have to be a good girl because Daddy's got a meeting shortly and Mummy's got an 8 o'clock. So I know what you're thinking. 8 o'clock would be a good time to demand to go in the garden, in which case Mummy will give me a treat. Anyway, I've got something to share with all you data-loving folk. This is terrifying. It's a site that... it's like a dashboard, isn't it, Mike? And it took me a little bit of time to think, like, how's that actually working? But when you go to the site, the total number at the top is 0. And then as you scroll down, you've got, like, tiles. And the tiles are countries. Afghanistan, Albania, Algeria. And... some are blue, which means they've had no new cases of COVID in the last 7 days. Some are red. Red, not good. Not good. Some are grey. When you look at it, what you're actually looking at is changing in real time. The total in the top right-hand corner is how many people have been infected with COVID in the time you've been looking at this website worldwide. But if you scroll slowly down, you can see sometimes it's every 10 minutes, every 3 seconds, keep going. Go right down to the bottom and you'll see the United Kingdom next to America. And I said to Mike, obviously the rate of infections determines how fast the little red dial is going round. And I said, it looks like our electric meter. So I will put that in. Have a look at that. It's terrifying. And America, whoa. Just don't go there. I don't know how you're all coping. Saving graces, of course, there's more people. So the per head rate might actually be less than ours. I'm not sure. But it is a very cool graphic to have a look at. I've had it open for probably about 50 minutes. And the total in the top corner is 6,500. And America are just about to hit 1,000 people reported. So every 2 seconds in America... a new case of COVID is reported. It's every 15 seconds in the UK, but other places it's like 2 days. And when you look at the places that it's nowhere near as bad as the UK and America, like, you know, I'm looking at like Mongolia, Malta, Mauritius, Madagascar, you're thinking, how are these places coping? The one that got me was Syria. Where's Syria gone? South Sudan, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Taiwan, Syria. Syria has one case every 37 minutes. And I'm thinking, but, you know, they don't have much in the way of facilities out there to be washing their hands. But you look at those figures and it does explain quite a lot, doesn't it? America are now over the 1,000. It's really good, isn't it, to indicate to you, you know, how bad these things are. And the total in the top, when you've had it open for like 40 minutes, you're just thinking, this is horrific. Now, obviously, it's not death rates, it's infection rates, and fewer people seem to be dying. But like I pointed out, the ones who would be ultra susceptible are already dead and buried. It's terrifying. No new cases in the Vatican makes a change. But, you know, you look at some of these countries and you think, I would have expected it to be really bad in that country because they don't have the medical facilities and the niceties, you know, like running water. And they're nowhere near as bad as we are. So like Taiwan, one new case every 7 days. America, look at it. Could that actually go much faster? Wow. Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. You can't really take a screenshot of that, can you, too? Well, for posterity. You have to record it. It's just so bad. I mean, Jersey, one case a day. The Isle of Man, one case every 7 days. You know, if they can do it, why can't we? Guernsey, every 7 days. Greenland, zero. The Falkland Islands, zero. How was New Zealand doing? That's all I can use. Because they were doing really well, weren't they? New Zealand, one case every 13 hours. But then that's quite bad because they had actually got it beaten at one point. I had a look at that and then got very depressed, so put the pandas on. So I've got that open in one window and the pandas in the other. check per 100,000. Right, let's have a look at that. Click on that at the top. Right, let's go and see how it was. America's fractionally less. You're getting three. One 11 every 11 minutes and ours is one every 17 minutes. But still you're looking at others and it's hours and hours or days. Or like Tanzania, no new cases. But these are not countries that I would have expected to have all the benefits that the bigger countries do. And yet look at them. So at least from this we know where to move to, don't we? If they'd have us. Liberia. Malawi.
Just in case you think I've abandoned you.
No, you're here.
I'm doing my chores.
Oh, from the chore sheet.
From the chore sheet.
And are you going to flatten your hair?
I'll think about it. Or I might just do a no makeup selfie.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Why?
Because people comment and then you get upset. So don't. I think you look adorable. Yeah. And that's all that counts. Don't, We'll have to do something with his hair at some point. Burkina Faso, that's another one. One every, basically one a day. Oh, it's alarming. Spain every 8 seconds, but most are in Madrid. Is there something with Madrid? Is it like a party town? That would be the equivalent of like Newcastle, Liverpool. The area in the UK that's got the most is... What was that area in Liverpool, Mark? Was it Knowsley?
Knowsley.
And that's the worst in the country. Which I don't understand because Liverpool weren't put into local lockdown. So where's that suddenly sprung from? Don't get it. The US cases are 4 times worse than Spain. Oh dear, oh dear. What's going on here? New report, the virus is mutating to be more contagious. Makes sense. That's what I was worried about. That what we started with, that they started making the vaccine for, wouldn't be what we ended up with by the time the vaccine's ready. Still no sign of the vaccine. Yeah. Brick the door up, Jonathan. Hibernate. We're all sensible. We're going to make it through this, you know. Because we're all sensible and we're not going anywhere. Even things like the bills don't get dealt with until they've been festering for a week. In the de-COVIDing cupboard.
Join me for my meeting.
Oh, Lola's gone into the Catinian meeting. She must have heard the word cat.
And to join me for my
Does it include the safari park? Maybe the monkeys going from car to car, pulling the aerials off and throwing food and making it worse. Knowsley's actually like one of the better parts of Liverpool. So it's not like party town. Somewhere like Toxteth or Croxteth. But no, I don't really understand that. Let's have a look. Knowsley. It's on the way in, isn't it? Just past Widnes on the way in. Knowsley. Knowsley. There we go. Near Prescott. No, it's a little bit further north than I thought. Hang on, was that where we went? No, it couldn't be. It's a bit too far out. We stayed, I can't remember the actual area of, it was up near Aintree. Oh, actually, it could have been. Yeah, it's not too far from there. We stayed at it was a very weird hotel. It was like they had reception staff, but that was it. So sort of containerish. You had to ring down to reception for anything that you wanted, but it was like manned by two people. So there's no bar, no restaurant area or anything. Literally just like space that you could stay in. But the hotel, there were two hotels for the conference. No, there were three hotels for the conference. One was the Adelphi, which was on the TV programme. So if you're in the UK and you saw the Adelphi programme, it's worse than that. It's worse than that when you get there. So we decided not to stay there. The other two, one was like a Beatles-themed one. And I think the price was something stupid, like £170 a night. And the other one wasn't much cheaper. So there were two. The one was the Ibis. So the thing was, none of the hotels had parking. So, and you're in the centre of Liverpool, so you would need to find parking. There wasn't much chance of coming back to the car and finding it with the same four wheels it was left with. So Mike said, well, some people are going on the train. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going on the train. Not happening. So I said, why can't we just stay further out? Because you had to walk everywhere from the town centre because you wouldn't have had your car. And then they put on a coach to go to Aintree, which was where we were having the big do. And if you remember, it was cup final day and the coach driver was watching the cup final hold up somewhere and he turned up to pick people up two hours 20 minutes late while we're all at Aintree waiting for them. We just got a taxi. Oh, what a night that was. Anyway, Knowsley's not too far from there, but it is on the outskirts of Liverpool. Rather than being in the town centre. So, and it's quite rural. Lots of fields, green field site. So I can't understand why it's that bad. It's quite a small place, not quite a village, but it's certainly not the kind of town that you would think. It's not Newcastle, where they're all a bit crazy. Let's say that. Right, let's have a look. Australia cases going down. Madrid, sort of. It's where the most creationists and it's controlled by the ultra-conservative party are refusing to lock down the whole city despite... Oh, one of those. Yeah, we've got one of those called Boris. I understand it then. I get it. Not by population, Spain is worse than the US and the UK. I don't... Mind you, the thing with Spain is they've also... with the holiday thing was like, oh, yes, let's all go on holiday. People started heading to Spain. That will not help. Well, it will help the mutation that people are arriving from different places and all mingling. It can't help, can it? But obviously it's their business and they wanted people to visit. It's bad. It is very bad. You'll never forget going there. Your dad decided to take his new car there. The sacrifices he made for us as a parent. I went there on a coach. I loved it. I did love that. You can customise what countries to show from the icon bar. Now back to what Elaine said. Oh, I didn't notice that you could customise it. I was just mesmerised. Just mesmerised by the whole thing. Could you imagine? Somewhere there's a bunker in the UK where those in the know are holed up with like a wall of that just watching it. Honestly. It's scary. It's scary. Right, I shall put the pandas back on now. Oh, Kim finally got the old kitchen faucet out. Excellent. Rusted. No wonder it was leaking. Took me over an hour. Now I need to reseal the sink. I always think of yours with faucets. Ours would be called a tap. As being really solidly built, where ours are very decorative. And they don't last 5 minutes. We had one that was leaking, I think, and Mum had a spare. So when the plumber arrived, who was actually trying to sort the fire out, but while I was here, he decided to do the tap. He fitted the new one, which was fantastic. We love it. That must have been 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And I am still turning the tap the wrong way. It's one of these with like, what do they call them? Like a mixer tap. So the tap part's on either side. And you turn it towards you to turn the tap on. But the old one must have been installed wrong and you turned it away from you. And I still do that. Still do that. Mike's probably got the hang of it by now, but not me. Good night, Jonathan. We will see you tomorrow. Mum was a whiz with them plumbing. She really was fantastic. She did the faucet tap side of things. And Dad did like the waste pipe side of things. But what was fascinating, you know, when they started doing their own because money was tight when they just got married. And they got so good at it that as they got older, it's like, oh, well, we'll just do it. And it was fascinating to see Dad, who had like struggled for years with like, what happened in the UK was we changed measurements from feet and inches to centimetres. Now we've Brexited, we're going back. Because the thing is, people, there are anomalies in this country. You used to buy petrol by the gallon, but now we buy it by the litre. And you could never really work out whether you've been ripped off or not. But we do have like 12-inch rulers, even though there should be 30-centimetre rulers. They still have, and we're talking like 35, 40 years on, they still have both measurements on. So it can actually be quite confusing for people. You go into a shop and you ask for a quarter of sweets or a quarter of a pound of meat. People have no clue what that is in kilos. Not a clue. I've noticed they're starting giving out baby weights in kilos and it means nothing to me. Nothing at all. Stay with metric. It's much easier to do the maths. It is much easier to do the maths. But the thing is, it's so ingrained. It's something that people do struggle with. But what it meant plumbing wise was when we moved in the house, everything was imperial. But you then go to the plumber's merchant to buy things to fix stuff with. And it's metric. They're just not the same size. So if you can imagine, you've got a pipe sticking out the wall that you need to put a piece onto and they're not the same size. So then you have to buy an extra piece, which is like a joining piece. And you've got to make sure then that you've got like the wide bit at the right end and the narrow bit, because you don't want to get a joining piece that's like the wrong way round. And then you've got an extra piece to solder in or to fit in. And that was how it went on for years and years until they brought out this flexi piping. Oh, my dad thought it was Christmas, where he'd had to like take things round corners with angle brackets and stuff. This flexi piping was amazing. And it came with the reducing and the extender bits that you just slotted on and then pieced it together. And PVE tape is fabulous. I think it's PVE, isn't it? PVA? Is it PVA tape? My dentist used it in my teeth. So Kim will know. I think it's PVA. It's like, it's waterproof, but it's incredibly thin. And it like moulds around it and gives you a fantastic seal. Fantastic seal. PTFE, that's the one. That's the one, Simon. I knew I'd get there in the end. That's the one. So bit of that, bit of this flexi piping, and you're done. So he did think it was Christmas, which was just as well, because there was the Christmas, that it all went south. Mum and Dad had gone out for last minute shopping on Christmas Eve. Mike had gone out for last minute shopping on Christmas Eve. I was home. I thought, what's that dripping sound? So I ventured out of my lair, which is the office. And I'm thinking, something's dripping. I gets downstairs, follows the sound downstairs, gets downstairs. It looked like Niagara Falls. There had obviously been some leak upstairs. And it had happened for quite a while. And the builders who built the kitchen extension bit. Now, this was years ago. This was when we moved in, about 1980. instead of like doing the job properly, they'd left like sand on the inside of the roof. So the ceiling part of the kitchen is like plasterboard attached to rafters, and they had left sand on top of it. So when this thing started leaking, the sand soaked it up for days, probably for weeks, possibly even months, until the whole lot got saturated and the ceiling started to belly. And then it started dripping. So as I went into the kitchen, it looked like Niagara. There were that many, like, not holes, but areas of the ceiling that were leaking water. And I just went, oh my God. So I thought, dead simple, turn the water off. So I dived into the little cupboard that we have. We call it the understairs cupboard. Dived in there. I knew exactly where the stopcock was. Could I budge this thing? Could I? Heck, it would not move. Not even when I got like a wrench on it and like fed it through it and then tried to like maneuver it, just give you a little bit more purchase on it. It would not move. And I thought, I dare not do anything else with it, because this stopcock was right next to the electric meter. So I thought, I'm not doing that. Or I'm going to fuse the electrics. I would have had more chance of fixing the electrics, but that's by the by. So I goes back in the kitchen and it's everywhere. So I started getting out pans and bowls, just anything that could catch this water. Well, I must have been at this for about an hour. To say I was fraught was an understatement. And I knew that Mum and Dad would be out all day. When I glances out of the kitchen window and they'd come back. And what they'd come back for was to drop stuff off so they could go out and, you know, fill the car up again. Well, Mum came in the back door and I've got like my hair tied up. I look like I've been dragged through a hedge backwards. And I said, thank God you're back. And she said, what's going on? So I said, you might want to see the kitchen. She comes into the kitchen and it's just water dripping everywhere. I'd had to cover up the all the electric sockets. I'd had to cover up the electrical goods. So I'd have to shift the kettle. I'd have to cover up the fridge. I'd cover up all the microwaves. And there was just pots and pans everywhere with water all over. And I tried to drain the system and that was doing no good. It actually made it worse. So then I had to stop draining the system. And she's looking and she said, what on earth happened? And I said, nothing. I didn't touch a thing. I said, but there's a leak upstairs, obviously. And then I explained that I'd been up there and I'd taken up the floorboards and that all I could see underneath the floorboards was sand. And because the sand was now completely saturated, that was explaining why the ceiling was bellying. And it was Christmas Eve. So I've got this photo of my dad on Christmas Eve on his hands and knees with all the floorboards up in the bathroom with a jigsaw in his hand, which he'd used to get all the floorboards up. And that was how we spent Christmas. Yeah, fabulous. Oh, God, love DIY. Not. Kim says a lifetime warranty. Ah, but you didn't like the company, decided to change. That's good enough reason. Good enough reason. Same with metric, easy to, right. My friends in the US are quick to point out a few advantages of imperial, but I don't think they outweigh the advantages of metric. I wouldn't mind if everything was the same. But, you know, we don't. So there are things that, so petrol sold in litres, and yet journeys are in miles, not kilometres. It makes no sense. Now, I guess that would cost quite a bit to change all the road signs. But the other problem, let's be honest, I happen to know it's 200 miles, it's about 202 miles from my front door to the university that I went to, because I did that journey a million times. If you were to say to me, what's that in kilometres, I wouldn't have a clue. Not a clue. Same with weight. We still talk in stones and pounds. Now, I know there are a lot of scales that have got it in kilos. It don't mean much to me. I could not discuss weight in kilos confidently, even though I know that 1 kilo is 2.2 pounds. I would still have to do the maths to convert it. So it's the anomalies that get me. I don't mind one way or the other. Kim learned a tip on YouTube about the cork removal. Said to use a hairdryer to heat it up and it comes off easier. Oh, nice. When did I find out about cork? We had this guy do the windows. Mum was very picky about who got through the front door. Not particularly this, that the guy was good, but he was controllable, where a lot of people are not controllable. So she gets this guy in, and he puts the windows in, and he was quite happy to like fix the inside. So, you know, like where you'd had to take things off and put like new parts of the brick in and new mortar and stuff like that on the inside. And then he needed to put the wallpaper back. But he was making such a mess of it that she said to leave it, that she would sort it out. Typical of my mother. And she got rid of him. Then she's looking at the state of the place. She fixes all the downstairs ones, but the bathroom was tricky because there was like a gap between the window ledge. Only it was like it had taken a chunk out of it, the wood. So she could fix around it, but actually fixing this thing, what would you fill it with? Because it wasn't big enough to put like a piece of wood in it. I guess you could have tried wood filler, but wood filler in this country, although you can get different shades, it tends to be like a golden colour, and it stains everything it touches. And the windows were white. So she didn't want to use that either. And I don't know what on earth I searched for, but I found this cork, and this cork turned out to be amazing. We did all kinds of stuff with it that, you know, you wouldn't really have thought of. Normally, you probably use polyfiller, but polyfiller's like a white cement. It's finer than cement, but it cracks, whereas cork has a little bit of flexibility with it. So I did this bit in the bathroom and I had to build it up over about 4 days. But when I'd finished, you couldn't tell. It looked perfect. She was delirious. The other thing we used cork for, which again, absolutely amazing. In the midst of putting these windows in, we had a new front door. And it was custom made. She wanted exactly what she had. But instead of being in wood, which she had it custom made when she moved in. The reason we had to have the front door custom made with my mother, she wanted it to have two doors that opened inwards. So it's like the width of a single door, but it's two parts to it and they open inwards. And the rationale for that is she wanted frosted glass. But obviously, when you answer the front door, you need to see who's on the other side of it. So she wanted these two doors to have a chain between them so she could open it a fraction and see who was there. Which made total sense to me. So she had these, she designed these things, and we had this Chippy come sort it out, a carpenter. Chippy is a UK short form for carpenter. And he did a great job. It was gorgeous. And when she had them made in plastic, whatever you call it, that's PVC windows, isn't it? There's too many P's in this. But when we had that done, she wanted exactly the same. So it was made. She was happy with it. Opens in inside, because if you have to open it outside, it's very difficult to close the door if you want to get rid of somebody. Oh, there was all logic. See, all your external doors open inwards. Now, it's interesting. Generally speaking, ours do. Except, hello, Anthony. Except if it's at the porch door, the exterior one, because the porch isn't wide enough for it to open inwards. You wouldn't be able to get through the door. So the majority, all the houses around us, the majority of porch doors open outwards. And she did not want that. She also didn't want, because when we moved in, it was clear glass. And she didn't want that either. So, it looks great. We love the door. But he'd fitted it. And it was very cold. It was drafty. Now, considering it's double glazed, it's like, why is it so drafty? Well, me with the cork in my hand was like, well, it's not sealed properly, is it? It's sealed on the outside, but not on the inside. So I ran round the inside of the door with the cork. Not only did it stop it being so cold, but the difference it made to the noise was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, yeah, we must have drawers full of cork here. I use it for everything. Oh, a crack's appeared. Let's fill it with cork. Oh, I want to seal that window. Let's put cork in it. And that's what I do with it. So, yeah, love cork. Absolutely love it. I've noticed, interestingly, with these external doors, you know, like we say, there's so many differences between the UK and America. And considering you speak the same language, you wouldn't think there would be that many differences. Whenever I'm watching some Scandinavian, so Norway, Sweden, even Denmark, their doors open outwards. And I always wonder, like, why? Why do the doors open inwards here and in America, but open outwards over there? And the doors seem to be solid as well. So you've got no option of seeing who, like, who's out there unless you've got a spy hole in it or cameras. But when you look at the houses, they're just built that way. I would love to know why. I would. Pick one system or the other. I think that's going to take about 9 lifetimes, Paul. I guess somebody could. I think if somebody did suggest. In fact, in this country now, you've got no chance. And it's nothing but tribal reasons. We went semi-metric when we joined the EU. And you know how, well, the tiny majority of UK people feel about the EU, hence Brexit. So if somebody now decided to say, let's dump miles and let's change all the road signs, all hell would break loose. It's a tribal thing, irrespective of whether it would be better or not. It's a tribal thing. And for that reason, I don't think there's any politician who's brave enough to even suggest it. Not in light of what happened with the Brexit thing. No one's ever going to mention it again. One thing that is seriously being talked about is not changing the clocks. So, I mean, no daylight saving time thing. But that's talked about every time we change the clocks. Whether it will be any different now, because the UK, I don't know if they could this year or if they'd have to wait till next year, because we're not fully Brexiting until January. But technically, it's now within the government's decision whether we have daylight saving or not. So depending on who's in power, that could change. It's something to do with safety in the mornings, but we'll have to see. Right, how are we doing? You've got a stable door, so you can open the top half and keep. That's genius, Anthony. That would be great. That would be fantastic now. If we'd done that at the back on the extension, it would have been great because we could have had some air coming in for Lola. But obviously, we didn't have Lola at the time. In fact, let me have a look. Calendar. That's probably the way to go to have a look at that. Let's have a look. And now I'm looking at November. Why am I looking at November? Right. Yes, it's a double celebration on Thursday. Not only is Thursday day 200, it's Lola's Got Your Day. Oh, I can't believe it's a year. I cannot believe it's a year. But she was with us for the few days before that as well. But it's her Got Your Day on Thursday. She's so adorable. Even when she... Now, don't tell her, obviously. We've got ice cream for her. She only gets ice cream on her birthday, Christmas, or a gotcha day. Kiva kept trying to get under that. Maya was like that. My dad was, you know, an inveterate tinkerer with his car. He'd get his car and Maya would be under there. He would shimmy under it with him. He also used to go under tables, but I think she just wants to be with you. Plus the fact you might have pegged and she's got to check that you're okay. So sweet. Oh, the worst one was when my dad went in the loft. So the loft space, we don't have stairs to it or a ladder. You've got to carry a ladder upstairs to put it just outside the toilet and bathroom and then actually climb into the loft space. So I think it was my mum wanted dad to get the Christmas stuff out. Can't remember why dad was up there. But he was up there. And Maya watched him go up, watched him climb the ladder, watched him get in the loft, and was just stood there muttering to himself. He was going, yah. You know, like you've heard Lola, a little bit like that. I said, he'll be back in a minute. I turned round to pick something up, and in the 2 seconds I took my eye off him, he was halfway up the ladder. He'd never climbed a ladder in his life, but I know he was probably aged about 4, something like that. But he had actually worked out, had to put his paw on each step and then drag that up and then move his back legs onto the bottom. And there he was. His head was in the loft. And I'm like, oh my God. And I thought, the thing is, if he got up there, that would be one thing. Getting him down would be another. Because when he was a puppy and he was learning to get about the house, he was too tiny to climb the stairs. But once he got to a size where he realised, you know, front paws on there, move the back legs up, I can do this. He climbed the stairs. And I remember watching him for the first time thinking, oh, mummy was so proud, he's climbed the stairs. That was fine till he got to the top. He had no idea how to get down. Literally no idea. Because he was so small that as he put his front legs on the lower step, I think he felt he was going to fall. So we had to carry him down. And he thought it was a great wheeze. He would dive up the stairs every 10 minutes and then we would have to carry him down. Eventually, obviously, he grew to a reasonable size and managed it. But the prospect of him diving into the loft, because obviously he weighed 8.5 stone. That apparently is 37 kilos. But don't ask me to do the maths on a regular basis. All right, let's have a look at these. After Brexit, I'm expecting Jacob Rees-Wombat to reimpose imperial and ban metric, along with making double spacing after sentences. I'm loving that, capital offence. Yes. Do you know, there was talk, wasn't there, before Boris kind of edged it, of him being the next leader. And there's, to some degree, if you listen to him in like one of the Oxford debates, it makes a lot of sense. And then you see him nodding off and just being a complete knob, to be honest with you. And then you realise, yeah, no, this isn't a good idea. So I could see that. I could see that. Kim would love to never change the clocks. Do you know the thing that causes Mike and I the most grief? The clock in the car. It's got a mind of its own. I mean, it's never right to start with. And I must admit, mine's 5 minutes fast by design. Even though I've got a watch and a phone with me that tell me otherwise. You know, you glance at the clock in the car. But changing it is a living nightmare. The one Mum didn't like was the microwave. In the end, because it was only me who could set that, whenever she tried to set the clock, it turned out she did this once. She had no idea what she was doing with it. No idea whatsoever. So she's like, well, you know, add a minute, add an hour. Okay, I've done it. And the microwave turned on. What she'd actually done was set a timer for it to turn on at a certain point. Well, obviously, if you turn a microwave on and there's nothing inside it. So, but she'd learned her lesson early on with a microwave. She always left a cup of water in it, which she then took out when she used it and cleaned it out and then put another one in, just in case it ever like came on. Anyway, after this incident where she said, well, I thought that was the time, and I said, no, Mother, it's not, that's the alarm, she decided she'd just unplug it every night and be done with it. Because it didn't keep time. You would leave it, or within a week, it would probably be out by 20 minutes. And then that set her off as well. You know what she needed? She needed some pandas. She did. Needed pandas. Right, let's have a look here. Plugs. Oh, I wish we had standard plugs. Oh, that would be brilliant. Our plugs are quite weird, I think. They don't pack well, do they? But I can't ever see that changing. Again, I think it would just cost too much money. Mind you, you do see a lot of plugs now with USB slots on them. So maybe there's hope. You never know. Deb's outside double doors open inside, but the screen doors open outwards. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, our patio doors open outwards. I'm thinking about that. Why would they open out? I think it's just a thing. I think it would probably take room off. Yeah, both doors open outwards. It would take room off you on the inside. You would have to leave space to open the doors. So both of them open outwards on the extension, and yet every other door in the house opens inwards. Someone did take the kitchen door off here and hung it the other way. So originally the kitchen door here opened inwards into the kitchen, but now it opens outwards. And the rationale was, quite rightly, as you go into the kitchen, you have a radiator on one side, not that we ever turn them on, and the fridge on the other. So there isn't actually, you would be juggling round one or the other. So they changed it so it hung, it opened outwards. So it opens into the hall. Other people have got exactly the same problem and they've just taken the door off its hinges. But you know my mother with security, so that's not happening. Absolutely. They're excellent when you've got a small naughty dog. That's the thing, would Lola be tempted to jump over it? Mayor always was, so we wouldn't have left that. What we did get for Mayor, we just used to leave the conservatory door open. And we got a... It's like a child gate, but it was for a dog because it was much taller than a child gate. And we had that. And he could, if he had chosen, have knocked it flying. But he chose not to. He chose to obey the rules that, like, okay, that's the gate and I'm not jumping or pushing on it. So he was very good with it. But we could then leave him in the conservatory where it was cooler with the door open so he could see what was going on while we were doing things and stuff. Because if you ever let him out, we let him into the front garden when we were mowing or intending to mow. And by this stage, he was probably about 12 and he had arthritis. But he just parked himself on the grass and nodded off. So we worked around him. The thing was, we ended up with a dog-shaped bit of grass that couldn't be cut. So this dog shape, he was lay on his side and Mike mowed around him. And he had to stay like that because it then started raining. I think it looked like that for about a month. But we just took photos and enjoyed it. We don't worry whether what the front garden looks like. Rewilding. Rewilding is a thing, just saying. Oh. Oh, Paul's got a British question. Clothes washer and dryer in the kitchen. You were watching a YouTube video and the presenter was English and mentioned they're considered kitchen appliances. Yes, they are. Yes, they are, Paul. But as Anthony points out, depends on the size of the house. Modern houses tend to have a utility room, but it would be attached to the kitchen area. But we've actually got quite a lot of devices like that these days. If you think about it, you've got your fridge, your freezer, your microwave, probably a hob and an oven separately. Fridges, freezers, dryers, dishwashers. There's no way we could even have one of each one of those in our kitchen. But they are considered kitchen and people put them in there. Yeah. Paul, Simon gets the idea. Average home is bigger. Oh, absolutely, Simon. Hence the fridges. Presenter's home was an older married Navy person's quarters at one time. Never thought of washers and dryers being kitchen appliances. In the same way that you're like that, Paul, when we see America and you have like a laundry room. The laundry room on my right tends to be upstairs. We would never think of putting them upstairs. It's just strange, isn't it? And yet that makes more sense because the clothes are probably upstairs and we drag them all down to the kitchen. It's insane. Our washer and dryer is in the garage where we like it, nice and quiet. Plus the fact many, I think we've mentioned this before, many of the washers and dryers in the UK are on recall because they keep setting on fire. So if it's in the garage and it sets on fire, I'm much less concerned than if it's in the house and sets on fire. I would say, Simon, the average US homes is more open than ours. I always say we've got far too many walls. In America, they seem to have lovely, light, airy spaces. And ours there's a room here and a room there, and they're all quite a lot smaller. You wouldn't bother changing the car clock this year. Kim, we didn't. I've no idea what that's saying now. It probably, we didn't. We didn't change it in the spring. Not been anywhere. So there's not much point, is there? Oh, dear. All doors and windows open inwards are standard. Yeah, our windows open. Now, our windows open outwards. This is insanity, isn't it? The windows open outwards, the doors open inwards. I've just realised, who designed these places? Nothing makes sense. Growing up, the washer and dryer were in a closet in the kitchen. Ah. I just think here at the moment, people want it separate. They want the kitchen to be like a family space where they can eat. So there aren't many older style houses that can accommodate that. Not without having a huge extension. I know somebody who had an extension put on the back of their kitchen and deliberately took the decision to halve the size of the dining room so they could eat in the kitchen. But it meant that the dining room was absolutely minute. It was probably about 6 foot across. So the length of the house, but it looked like a corridor There was barely room for the table in the middle and then the chairs on either side. It was quite weird, I thought. But people wanted much, much, much bigger kitchens. So Anthony's open outwards unless they've got sash windows. That's true. I think my gran had sash windows at one point. But no, ours open outwards. Except when my father screwed them down. But that was a whole different story. Screen door had hinges on the wrong side. They'd installed it upside down. That sounds like the people that had Mike's flat before Mike. The things they did were scary. They had a lovely kitchen and they put fake like panels of old style wood on the front of these doors. And we were too, I said to Mike, that's really weird. And he said, yeah, I thought that. He said, I'd much prefer it if they were lighter. These panels were like a burnt orange. Thing was, you're too scared to take them off because you've no idea what they've done underneath. Did they glue them, screw them, nail them? What did they do with it? In the end, when he was moving out to move in here, I said, well, look, it can't look much worse. So let's take one off and have a look. And they'd nailed them on. They tried gluing it on one, so we had to deal with that. But the others were nailed on, so they came off quite easy. Only problem was that left like nail holes in the real doors. And the colour of the real doors was like a mottled, very pale mauve colour. So like very, very pale brown, if you're with me. So I'm looking at it now. I could tell by looking at it there was no way you were going to get paint that would match. So I could fill the holes, which I did, but then all the holes were white. So there were no holes, but you could tell because it had like white spots on these doors. And I'm looking at them thinking, what on earth am I going to do? Because if you'd have put paint on, like a kind of gloss paint or even a water-based paint, again, you would have just seen the spots on it. How on earth do you make them mottled? So I pondered for a couple of days while we were doing all the rest of the jobs in there. And what we needed was for it to sell really quickly. And at the time, places were taking a long time to sell. So I was doing my Anne Maurice bit. She's American. I don't know if she's been on your TV. But she was the house... can't remember what her name was or the programme. But she did like makeovers so you could sell your house. So I'm poncing around with a clipboard, ticking things off. And I looked at these doors again and I thought, we're not going to get away with it. They've got white spots. And I thought, oh. And what I'd filled it with was porous polyfiller mixed with emulsion to make it a little bit plasticky. So I thought to myself, So I said to Mum, did you bring your coffee? She said, yeah. I said, can I have some? She said, you don't drink coffee. I said, I don't want to drink it. So she gave me this coffee and it was like granules. So she gives me the coffee granules and she's watching me and I've got this egg cup and I'm putting the coffee granules in and then I'm adding water to make it lighter and whatever. And I've got a little brush in my hand and she said, what are you doing? I said, I intend to paint the white spots with coffee. And she looked at me and I said, well, I need paint that's semi-transparent. I said, I can't buy paint that's semi-transparent. I need to mottle it. I said, so if I can get the colour of this coffee to look like the colour of the door, I said, then I'm away. And she's just shaking her head. And I said, trust me, it'll work because the filler was porous. So I dots it about and it was absolutely perfect. You could not tell. No idea what the people thought when they moved in and realised. But hey, it worked. And we didn't then have white spots or holes. Kim would never have a laundry upstairs. Leaks happen. That's what I felt, Kim. We got offered, somebody said it would be better, we would have a bigger bathroom if you put the hot water tank and the cold water tank in the loft. And I said, what, over the bed you mean, in the main bedroom? Oh yeah. And I said, like, that's not happening. And about 6 months later, there was this horrific story of a family who had done just that. And they were over the nursery and there was a leak. I think this child was about 4 weeks old and it died. It was boiling water. No way. No way is that going in the loft. Over the main bedroom. That's not happening. So that's why we put them outside. In fact, I would probably choose to take the fridge outside because we can't cope in the UK in the summer. When it gets too hot, you have a problem. The fridge, like if there's extra water and it can't do anything with it, you know, from the condensation, what it does is it flows into a plate underneath the fridge. And we thought it was just us that were having this problem. Apparently not. If there's more water than the plate can deal with, it just starts overflowing onto the kitchen floor. So with that and the washer and the dryer, no, just sling them outside. I don't care what happens outside. No problem at all. If it wants to puke all over the garage floor, feel free. I don't mind. One way or the other. So yes, ours are outside for good reason. See how sensible we are, Kim? Totally sensible. Oh, it's actually working now. I was about to need the pandas again. But never fear, it's sprung into life. And having sprung into life, are you springing into life? Oh, I had news about the installation. The Catalina thing. Yes, not without incident, let's just say that. Not without incident. But it, obviously, as I'm here with you, we are still up and running, which is always good. Right, okay. No, they don't have your basement, Simon. You're quite right. Your basement's amazing. Absolutely love that. Reminds me of my gran, and I would love a cellar because I think a cellar would be the most amazing place to put a studio. It would be amazing, but obviously not happening right now because we've got solid floors. So there's definitely no way that we could do that. No way at all. But hey, never mind. Right, let's get the rest. The flooded dungeons. Mauve, Grove, Mauve, Mauve. Oh, Mauve. Yeah, that maybe it is a northern thing. Maybe it is. Who knows? Off-white. Very light brown. Bathrooms leak as well. Oh, yes, they do, Paul. I can guarantee that. We've had two major leaks. But and we've had the kitchen ceiling replaced once. So, yeah, they do. But what can you do? Although I do know people who've actually had the bathroom put downstairs as well. And I think it's because, obviously, your plumbing costs are halved if you don't take them upstairs. So they would have the bathroom, toilet, everything actually plumbing wise would be downstairs. Maybe that's a new thing. You're pretty sure it was a misspeak? No, we would say Mauve. Mauve, Mauve, Mauve. Oh, whatever. It's obviously a northern thing. Right, okay then. Well, I'm going to head off into my 8 o'clock. They're all ready and waiting, so I shall head off into there. But we will be with you tomorrow, and hopefully you'll be here with us. And Jonathan will have finished his fast. I wonder if he's got any Toblerone to finish that with. Mike was contemplating buying Toblerone, so we'll see how that goes as well. But for the moment, it is good night from me, and I will say good night from Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.